15, 20 bucks.
And we're live. What's this, episode number 16, Alan? Episode number 16.
It is 16.
Yes, and we're calling this one
House of Bach.
House of Bach. House of Bach. Why are we calling this one the House of Bach?
Well, I decided to make a little phone call and set up something a while ago, and it all played out very well. And I brought a friend of mine from Minneapolis, Michael Maxwell, to the house.
Oh.
So he's going to be hosting and drinking tonight for our tap event at Jill Beers.
Nice. So for those of you who don't know who Mr. Mike Maxwell is, Mike, why don't you introduce yourself?
Yeah, thanks for having me, fellas. Yeah. This is exciting for me. Alan here has lined up. I've been in the beer industry for about 14 years and the sales side of it for about 11, 12. Nice. And Alan has lined up the largest tap takeover that I have ever done. So,
are you serious?
Yeah.
Really?
So
he hasn't seen nothing yet. Wait till we get there tonight.
You come up and represent some Shiner beers, and I get to hang out and hang out with you guys. And
it's gonna be a packed house.
Oh, it's gonna be packed. Well,
to be fair, it is Jail Beers.
Yeah. It doesn't take much, but you know, we could pack it and still stand outside in the parking lot.
We're gonna definitely get use of that. What is it? 75. 85 at a time,
yep.
Or 2,000 people, 85 at a time. Yeah, yep. We're definitely going to rotate through that tonight.
Yeah, we might have to get there early because tonight is also a UND hockey game.
That's good, though. That's
it's gonna be crazy.
If they want anything besides beer, they can go to the hockey game, and then anybody in town who wants beer can come hang out with us.
Exactly. And they're playing the game, and the game's going to be live.
Yeah.
On TV.
Oh, well, perfect.
It'll be. Place is going to be jumping in.
Yeah, you can't get any better burgers and the homemade chips at Jail Beers.
Amazing, right?
I lived in Fargo for several years, so now, like, living back in the cities,
right?
You don't have Jail Beers, and there's nothing like it. Like, there is nothing in Minneapolis.
Isn't the closest one like Brainerd?
Yeah, there used to be one in Northeast, but it wasn't the same owners.
Okay.
Same thing. I think there might still be one south of the cities, but it's not the owners. They like franchised it out.
Yeah, because I thought St. Cloud had one for a minute there.
St. Cloud has one. They might have a Jail Beers too. They have a different chain that ripped off Jail Beers called Seven West.
I know Seven West. Yeah,
same exact concept. Fresh fries right there. Megan, it literally ripped off.
Megan Parker from Dogfish told me to go there.
You talk about doing joint stuff earlier. Yeah. I've done one with Megan at that Seven West in St. Cloud.
She's awesome.
So yeah, she's a very cool chick.
Yeah.
You know, I want to say something about Jail Beers because
it's
kind of upsetting that it's not 21 and up because I got, you know, kids, so I can't just go there for like dinner because I can't bring them in there.
Yeah.
But it's also nice because it is 21 and up, so you don't have to deal with kids.
Yeah.
So it's like the perfect place to go for lunch.
Oh yeah.
We were at Vinyl Taco earlier today, and I was telling her, I miss having a place like JL Beers when I did beer in Fargo, because for a beer man, it's the perfect place for lunch.
Absolutely.
Because you get great food, you get it fast, you can have your meeting, you can have good food, you can have beers with it, and you can be out and on. Whereas lots of times, us beer guys, like, if you give us a chance to sit around and drink four or five beers, we will sit around and drink four or five beers.
Absolutely.
So if you go to a different style of account and you have your lunch, it takes a little bit longer to get it. Not knocking it. Like, it's just the different setup of the account. So, hey, well, my food's not here yet, so of course I got to have another beer. And my food's here now, so yeah, I need another beer. And now I'm three beers deep, so I might as well drink three more and finish the six-pack. So,
well, and that's how I am, too. Like, I meal prep a lot, and I'm on the run always, so I have it in my car, and I'm eating. Like, I just don't get a break.
Well, and it's so nice. I mean, you know, not to discredit any other restaurants in town, but I think Jail Beers in town here has the best burgers by far.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's what's really cool too is, like you said, you know, when you can sit down there and you can have like a really good beer, you don't just get a big, you know, giant Busch Light, you know, 48-ounce cup. But on the TV screen, they actually have the different beers that they offer, and they kind of explain what they are.
Yep.
So I think it's just a really cool joint. And then in the summer, they got their little patio area outside.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Jail Beers is fantastic.
And if you're feeling frisky enough, they do have a beer tower in there. You can pull it out and they'll actually fill it with beer for you.
And they keep it condensed. Yeah. It's not like this giant restaurant. Yeah. So you know you're gonna get good service.
Oh, and they built it to design like that too. It's smart to get in and out. So you get they're gonna make their money one way or another.
They should have designed it in the shape of a beer though.
Oh, that'd be insane.
One thing kind of cool they have done since the beginning, they are the epitome of a beer tender.
Yes.
Not a bartender. They're a beer tender.
Yes, they are.
All their employees are experts on the beers that they have.
Absolutely.
And what they are. And if you like a style, you'll like this one, or this one has these notes. Like,
they'll give you like a five minimum description of each of certain ones, and they're like, okay, you pick this.
They'll even let you try them too.
Yeah.
And everything.
Yep.
And you know, I haven't even paid. Do they offer flights?
Yeah, absolutely. They do.
They do 5 ounce flights. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, they do flights. They let you try all the beer, whatever you want to try. You can try anytime you want to try it.
And that's the nice thing. Like tonight, for events like this, it's perfect to do 5 ounce flights. You do 5 beers, 5 flights,
right?
And you could just sip on them all night, or if you like it, after you finish your flight, just go get one of them. But I've seen more people go get flights back to back to back. Consistently, yeah. Just because it's fun.
We have. Okay. Is there going to be 5 beers on tap tonight?
I got 6.
6. Ooh, I'm doing a flight.
You know. I got a.
Well, I'll get you full beers or whatever you want.
There you go.
I got you tonight, buddy.
There you go.
I got a question for you guys and everyone in the chat. Everyone in the chat, let me know. Fries or chips?
It depends.
Easy. Yeah. Chips. Chips all day.
Yeah.
I like their chips, but if you don't get their fresh cut fries, which I've stopped being a fan of. If you just get their frozen fries from them, their traditional fries, they're the exact same ones that they use for McDonald's.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I thought they did the fries the same as the chips. I thought that they put them through the potato machine thingy.
Nope. If you ask for traditional fries, they have the fries there that are the same as the ones you get from McDonald's.
But you can get the fresh cut ones.
Yep.
Yeah.
I would go with the fresh cut.
I had to find that out when I asked, because I'm like, why are those down there? Like, oh, they're traditional, but they're the exact same cut and style as McDonald's fries.
Yeah.
Huh. And you can still give me the chips then.
Yep. Yeah. And that way, I can get both. I can get both. I can take those fries to go.
With the chipotle sauce.
Raging Cajun, baby.
There you go. Now we're talking. Cajun.
I like the spicy.
I get the lime one.
Lime one is really good.
Yeah. Lime is good too. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But no, you can't go wrong at JL Beers. JL Beers is the spot. I mean, I think we go there enough they know us already.
Yeah. I'm in there every week. So I just.
Yeah. Alan's there. Alan's everywhere every week.
They try to give me all. Every time I walk in the cell, they're like, oh, you want a beer? I'm like, no, I'm still working.
Yeah.
Well, when you're done, I'm like, maybe, but I got to go to some other accounts first.
You know what they say to me?
It's the worst kind of gaslight, because I want to sit down and drink. So, like, I guarantee I'll have like 3 of them. Like, you know what?
Absolutely.
For the day. I can just text in the rest of my orders.
Just start making it the last stop of the day.
I try to. Second to last.
On my days off, Alan's working on my days off. So when he's in places, he'll leave.
You just follow him around?
Yeah, it's weird. He'll leave, and I'll go in. They go, oh, Alan just left. He's wearing his orange pants today. Oh, Alan just left. He has on those green pants today. Alan just left. He has on those red pants today. They always say the same thing all the time. I'm like, okay, all right, cool. I just missed him. You know,
that's the best part about being a salesman. Like, I can wear all these colors.
Yeah.
I will stand out, and everyone's like, guy with the pants.
Yep.
Everybody knows that one.
Yeah. Everybody knows
that. It's way more fun. Yeah. And my personality for it is just way more entertaining. Like, I'm more sociable.
Totally.
I have more fun. They let me get away with a lot of fun stuff. Like, I can do fun stuff like this. I just let it shine through.
I think your pants give an invitation to say, hey, you can talk to me.
And no other salesmen. I look at all the other salesmen across like the liquor side, the beer side. I'm like,
exactly.
Liquor guys, I know they're nice. Yeah, but not this kind of flair.
No, that's what I'm saying. The liquor guys, they still got to dress nice. Oh, yeah. They usually still have to wear button up. Yeah, all that shit. We don't have to do any of that.
Yep.
How come I never get invited to the pants party?
I mean, we could start. We could start that. Hey, we could start that one.
I'm over here thinking, like, I'm always, you know, the marketing guy. I'm always trying to think, like, man, how could we get like pants?
How could we just get pants?
I'm thinking already buying like some beer cracking pants.
I've branded myself already, because my red ones have beer mugs on them.
Yeah, yeah. Just we can put some cracking on. We just could cool some cool Brew Brothers pants.
You know, that's
pants.
Actually a really good idea, because, you know, everybody's putting logos on their shirts and everything. Yeah. Nobody's ever putting anything on pants.
Like, I've been thinking about that. I've been looking.
Because we have our stickers and we have all our stuff. Like,
exactly. No, I've been looking. I've really been looking for pants. I think that pants would sell well and we would do well. And, I mean, hey, we could have like an Allen night where we do – everybody wears pants.
Different Allen pants.
Different Allen pants. Yeah, yeah.
You know how many people are going to be like, what is he going to wear next that steps out? Like, I'm going to wear the most absurd zoot suit shit ever.
Well, it can be a contest. If you happen to be the person there who – nobody else has that color of pants on that night.
Exactly.
You get all your beers for free.
I will do that.
Ooh, I wouldn't mind that one.
I like that.
So anyway, we're here. This is a special occasion because we don't have guests all the time. But we're working on having guests more often, because I feel like sometimes having other people in a room just makes the room a little bit more different and the energy is better.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, you know, the energy is always good here, but it's just it brings another energy. So, Mike, you're here. You're from Shiner. What kind of beers we got here today, Mike?
All right, so here in the studio with us, we've got some of my favorites for sure. The sea salt lime is—I mean, obviously, you take Bach out of it,
right?
Bach's our biggest thing,
of course.
You can't work for this company and not love Bock. So you take Bock out of it.
Right.
And then I bounce back and forth between my two favorite beers are the sea salt lime that we have here. And then we make another one called Premium. It's just our old school lager. It's like our Budweiser, our Coors Banquet.
Like a lager.
Love that beer. It's freaking delicious. So we got the sea salt lime. Then we have our Mexican Cerveza Orale. And then we have our insanely high alcohol Twin Dream Double IPA. Ooh. So it is a Southwest IPA, got a New England hazy hops profile, then we brew it with cactus water and it's filtered. So that's how we set it apart.
I love double IPAs. I don't know what it is. I don't like an IPA, but I like a double IPA.
There you are. It's all yours, buddy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We're going to try them. We're going to drink them.
Oh, yeah. The last show, it was the Shiner Variety Pack that we had the last.
Yeah. We had the holiday chip. Yeah, we had the holiday one on.
Yeah,
and holiday one. We smashed it.
You had the holiday one?
Yeah.
Oh, God. Every single beer in there was good.
Did you have the birthday cake? The birthday 101? Yes.
The chocolate stout? Yeah.
Oh, my God. So we don't do stouts at Shiner. Like, we've probably only done two or three in the company's been around since 1909. Yeah. We've done two or three stouts the whole time. But that birthday cake is so freaking good.
These guys will tell you, like, I'm probably the most picky guy at this table when it comes to beer.
Yeah.
And every single beer in that case I absolutely loved.
Nice. What do you like? Like, what's your favorite style, the go-to style?
I've been really kind of getting into those sours lately.
Yeah,
like sour. Huge sour.
We got him on some like Berliner Weiss styles and some easy drinking ones like the salt lime.
Yeah.
Like have you gotten them techno like
just pop it. Salt and lime,
Have you had one?
Do you want to go to
Yet.
Do you want to do Orle?
He's got glasses.
Yeah, let's do Orle. We'll do Orle.
Yeah, we did it about 5 years ago, and it was we called it Cerveza, which was translated a lot better up here. We're from Texas, so everybody in Texas knows what Orle is, but most people in Minnesota and North Dakota don't know Orle is.
You'd be surprised. There's a lot of Mexicans here now. It's North Dakota and Minnesota.
Yeah, I know in the oil fields, you get a lot. You get a ton of Texas guys up.
And so, the farmers also,
it does well up there,
So. Nobody wants to do farming in Minnesota or North Dakota, and the Mexicans will do farming.
Oh, yeah.
They will do farming. Thank you, sir.
They do the shit out of it.
Yeah, and better than we could ever do.
Well, so, cheers,
guys. Cheers.
Cheers to Orale.
Orale.
Orale. Orale.
Orale.
Orale. That was good, right?
I'm so glad I drank that after that.
Are you a Speedy Gonzales?
No, I do that all the time. I do that all the time. So, no. I was telling Mike earlier, I work at a jail. I'm a correction officer. And there's always a lot of Spanish guys, you know, from ICE. Because, you know, they get caught being in the country illegally. Mm-hmm. And whenever I go into we got a unit where they all hang out at.
Oh, like a whole separate unit?
Separate unit for all the guys from ICE.
For a Mexican lager.
And whenever I go into the ICE, I go, ¿Qué pasa, amigos? They all just start laughing and everything. You know, they're all cool guys. You know, they're probably the nicest inmates in the whole entire jail.
Could they store them anywhere further away from Mexico?
It's true. Hey, they're the nicest guys in the entire jail.
Dude, I used to work at a liquor store in Minneapolis. Yes. And it was Brooklyn Park, so Southern Brooklyn Park, so very diverse community. And I grew up in a small town in Missouri, so it was new to me, like being in the big city. And I loved my Spanish guys that came in.
Yeah.
They were the most polite.
They are.
Like, of anybody who came into the store, I don't care any other type of person, the Spanish guys were always so nice.
Absolutely.
And just appreciative. And they were great. Thankful. I mean, the store wasn't a good part of town, so we got yelled at lots. We got temper tantrums thrown a lot and all kinds of stuff, but never had to worry about the Spanish guys. Yeah. They were the nicest.
They're the best.
Well, and that's the cool thing. Like, so Miller Lite is doing collaboration with the Latin community. They hired a bunch of graffiti artists. Like that, one, I do not remember his name, but they hired a really big graffiti artist out in California, I think. And he does amazing artwork.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
So they have a good relationship with the whole Mexican community too.
Yeah.
Latin Americans.
I see Modelo doing tons of Latin American commercials with their community and going hard.
The Modelo brand, they do really well tying in with that and now with the UFC. Like
everything. Yeah, they're going
great. It's cool how all this is playing out. Like, they just do good you're seeing a lot more cool marketing out from a lot of bigger brands.
I love it.
But it's it's got a lot of depth to it. If you look at what a lot of it is, it's got a lot of cool character to it.
It is. It's more community based now.
Yeah.
Like, they're really going hard in the community saying, hey, we really care about y'all.
Yeah.
We know, you know, we y'all drink our alcohol.
You guys all work hard. So let's just drink hard.
Yeah. Just drink hard too together. And let's build together. And they're giving a lot of money back to the communities these days too. So that's a big difference. Like, I don't know. How about, so Shiner, Texas. I've never been there. You've been there. How many times you been there?
7, 8 probably.
7, 8 times.
Yeah. I worked for Shiner for 6 going on 7 years. So
great place. Times. Great place to visit.
Fantastic.
So wow. Absolutely fantastic. How did Shiner all start, actually?
Yeah.
So Shiner started as 1909. So this time it was a lot of German immigration to the United States.
Right.
And the way that lots of people would immigrate was they wouldn't just immigrate with their family unit, like a whole town or half of a town from Germany would all pick up and move together to right. the United States. And then they'd settle in the same areas. So if you think of the map of Texas, Shiner is halfway between Houston and San Antonio. So we're on the Gulf side, about 2/3 of the way down the state.
Nice.
And that whole area was all settled by German immigrants. And the town of Shiner happened to be one of those towns where pretty much everybody who settled in the town of Shiner knew each other from Germany. They all immigrated together.
Wow.
So when they got here, what they realized was there was no beer like beer from the homeland that they could get. So all the men from the town of Shiner decided to get together and form a co-op. So we were originally, that's why we're named Shiner after the town, because we were the town's brewery. The men would go work the fields during the day, and then to get away from their wives at night, they'd go work the brewery. So we did that for 4 years. And it got so popular because, again, that whole area of Southwest Texas was being settled by German immigrants. So everybody wanted the beer back from the homeland. So they sold it to the first brewmaster, Cosmo Spetzel. And so that's why you'll see Spetzel on a lot of our stuff.
Yep, I do see that.
Because he was the first independent owner and the first official brewmaster for the brewery.
Wow.
So
I love hearing the history of how it all began and how it all started. I don't know. It just seems like it's like a love story almost.
The coolest thing about Cosmo, something that you will appreciate being a corrections officer.
Yeah.
Cosmo didn't like Prohibition.
Okay.
He didn't agree with Prohibition.
Okay.
So Cosmo didn't stop brewing beer during Prohibition.
Okay.
And he made it all the way up until I think there was like 6 months or 9 months left and he got busted.
Oh, shit.
Wait. And so a guy that brewed beer didn't like Prohibition?
Yeah.
Shocker.
Yeah. So he made like this this like fake Texas tea stuff that was up in the front of the warehouse. And then if you knew him and or knew like the people there, you could go through the back door and get the real beer.
Yes.
But he got busted with 6 or 9 months left of Prohibition. And he got sent to Leavenworth.
Wow. Yeah.
So
that's a federal prison.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know about it here, but Whitey's over in East Grand Forks.
Yes.
It sucks that it's not Whitey's anymore because it was after Whitey Larson. And he was doing moonshine out of the basement of that bar. And
It was the Canadian stuff, right? Weren't they running it under the river?
I don't know. It wasn't that they were running it under the river. It was that the river was a separation. So East Grand Forks wasn't actually established yet.
So he opened
it up over there to try to avoid the law because the law couldn't go into the next state.
Crazy.
And so he was, I mean, he had like Al Capone and all kinds of people coming over there. I mean, Whitey's was like historic for moonshine during the Prohibition ages.
They have a really historic bar in there too.
Yeah, I think it was one of the very first horseshoe bars.
Yeah, it's called the Wonder Bar. Yep. And there's like, I forget how many are left in the country. There's only like 2 or 3 left in the country.
Wow.
So when Sickies went in and then now that new restaurant there, he actually drove me past it earlier and I looked through the window to see if the Wonder Bar was still there.
You can't get rid of those bars. They're built into it for historical reasons. Like you can't destroy them.
It's an awesome story. So just to veer off to the left.
Yeah. What's up?
My great grandmother, her name is May.
Hmm?
She's a white woman and her husband was a black man. And back in those days, they could not, you know, they're not supposed to hook up with each other.
Great-grandmother, so you're talking like early 1900s.
Right? Yeah, he said 1900s. My great-grandmother, May, and her husband.
You're like To Kill a Mockingbird.
Mara. No, but check it out.
Black and white.
True story. She was a brothel owner. She owned a brothel, and my great-grandfather was the moonshine runner.
Nice. Where at?
In South Carolina.
South Carolina?
Yeah, so she ran the brothel and he ran the moonshine.
Hey, perfect pairing.
And he was black. He was black and she was white. So it wasn't even supposed to be together.
Well, they also weren't supposed to be doing the stuff they were doing, but they apparently didn't care.
They're just lawbreakers. Loved it.
The two wrongs made a right.
You know what? They were just lawbreakers. I loved it. I'm like, my family was crooks back in the day.
Awesome.
I loved it. Yeah. It was true, though. It was really true.
They weren't crooks. They weren't taking anything from anybody. People were willingly giving them.
That's true. I guess they were just going against the grain. Yeah, they was going against the grain back in that day. You know, it wasn't supposed to be with this person or that person because of their color or whatever.
Good on them for doing it anyway.
Mine were boring. They're just farmers coming from Prussia.
Yeah. Where were they from?
Prussia.
Russia?
Prussia.
Prussia.
Prussia? What's Prussia?
Prussia?
Yeah.
Under Prussia. No, Prussia is actually Prussia was like before Russia. Wow. It was like
wow. Where did we just go there?
I was wondering. Like, I know he's going with the Bohemian Rhapsody. So what, I know he's going with the Queen.
So what are we trying here? This is the Ordelais, right?
Yeah, that's Ordelais.
So Ordelais is amazing.
Traditional Mexican style lager.
A little bit of agave for a slightly sweet finish.
You can definitely taste the agave too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the agave is there.
But I do agree with you. Cerveza, Cerveza should have been the name that stuck.
Yeah. We used to call it Cerveza. It was so much better. And then we changed it. And again, you know, in Texas, it's very much higher Hispanic population. So it does make sense in Texas. Like, they get it. But like I was telling him, unless you watched wrestling when we were kids and you know who Eddie Guerrero is, you've probably never heard the word Orale. Other than that. Like, that was the only way I ever heard Orale was Eddie Guerrero when he got in the ring every time.
I thought it was Andale.
Orale.
Arriba. I guess I was talking about Speedy Gonzalez a little bit, because I always thought Speedy Gonzalez was saying Andale.
That's Speedy Gonzalez is Andale, but Eddie Guerrero was Orale. Arriba la raza.
Yes. Hey, another question for everybody in the chat.
Shoot.
What was Speedy Gonzalez's cousin's name?
I don't know. Pepe Le Pew?
No.
I don't know.
Oh, I knew.
He was the guy that was really slow.
Yeah. Jesus. And he was a heavier set one, too.
No, he was like tall. Skinny. He was like so super lanky, but he would just like would always avoid everything, and he was just like super slow. You guys don't remember that?
I don't.
I remember it, and I know when you say it, I'm going to remember the name. But
I got to get my phone.
What's the guy's name? Oh, you don't even know it?
No, I can't remember. Oh, that's why people need to put it in the chat.
Oh, gotcha. Okay, I didn't even know. I was like, why is he asking me that question? I can't wait to try the sea salt and lime. I think I've had that before. I think I had it before.
It's.
Here's a good question I got for you there, Mike. So it's really funny. I don't know if you come across this all the time, but a lot of my friends, they go to get some Shiner beer, and they always say stuff like, "Oh yeah, man, I'm gonna try that Shiner Bock."
Yeah,
you know,
and it's
you know,
like Shiner, one of the other brands.
You know, Shiner Bock is like its old new brand. You know that? Did you know that?
Oh yeah,
everybody thinks Shiner Bock is another brand of beer. Well, explain to everybody what Shiner Bock is.
So I do beer fests all the time, and I get that all the time. Like, I didn't know Shiner Bock made a sea salt and lime. Give me some of that Shiner Bock sea salt lime.
Yeah, there you go.
Like, I appreciate the fact that you love Shiner Bock, and I appreciate the fact that you even know what it is, because some people don't. But the brewery is Shiner. The Bock is just one of our beers.
Exactly.
And then the other ones, you can drop the Bock.
Yeah.
It's Shiner Sea Salt Lime or Shiner Orale. But yes, I get it. All the time, and like you can't be mad about it. Like,
They still remember Shiner. They just think Shiner Bock is such a big beer.
Brand by itself it that people think it's,
it is.
Well,
it's
it. When you look at my warehouse, when you look for like when I'm looking through breweries to pick which beer I want to sell,
right?
It pops up as Gambrinus for me.
Gambrinus. King Gambrinus,
and then Spotsel.
Yep,
I'm like, Spotsel. This is bad.
Like I got to look up three different things. Like I just look up Shiner, but I'm like.
We do have three. Technically, you could file us under three different names. So Gambrinus.
That's why I'm like, I'm gonna get confused.
Gambrinus is our parent company.
Right.
We're still independent owned, but I can actually tell you the story on that's probably the coolest.
Yeah,
even cooler than the story of Shiner. So Gambrinus is the company that was founded by an amazing man known, his name is Mr. Carlos Alvarez.
Oh, nice.
And Carlos Alvarez is the owner currently of Shiner, but he also owns Gambrinus Company. Gambrinus Company was originally an import company. Carlos he's Mexican national. Like he was born, raised south of Tijuana, and his family owned a Modelo wholesaler.
Oh, nice.
So he went to work for Modelo Corona corporate and rose up through the ranks and eventually became the head of all exports for the world for Modelo Corona.
Nice.
And at this time in the early 80s, Corona, Modelo, all that we now know as the Constellation brands, they weren't brought to America. Like they were exported to other parts from Mexico, but they weren't exported into the United States. And Carlos was like, we could sell the shit out of this in America. They come down here all the time for vacation. They have Corona. They have Modelo down here. They would love to drink it in the United States. So he left Modelo Corona with the American dream. Like he was Mexican national with the American dream of he was going to open up an import, move to the United States, open up an import business. And he was going to be the exclusive importer for Modelo and Corona into the United States. Great. So he did that. Like he moved to the United States, packed up his family, moved to Austin, Texas, started going around bar to bar, liquor store to liquor store, selling Corona 10 cases at a time. Great. like just selling it. And then in Texas, Shiner is so big that like up here we have Miller Coors wholesalers.
Yes.
Well, in Texas we have Shiner wholesalers.
Nice.
Now we don't, but like in the '80s we did. Like Shiner was their brand, and then they might have had some other stuff. And the first wholesaler to actually give Carlos his shot at the American dream was Shiner of Austin. Nice. And so they picked up Corona and actually started distributing it as a beer warehouse. And then it obviously, as we all know, it took off from there to the point to where Carlos was forced out of Corona Modelo in 2008 by Constellation. But from 84 till 2008, he had anywhere from 100% to 49% of all the Corona Modelo sales in the United States.
Wow, that's crazy.
Well, the cool part about where Shiner came into this is, so 84 is when Carlos starts this. By 86, he's already, like, it's taken off, it's skyrocketed.
Oh, because, yeah.
And he knew it. That's why the whole reason he wanted to do it. Well, at this time, Shiner was going through a really bad patch of our history to the point to where we were going to go under. Like, we were going to be out of business.
Wow.
If that happened, Shiner of Austin was going to go out of business. Like I said, Shiner of Austin gave Carlos his shot at the American dream. So he bought Shiner Brewery solely to keep them in business so that he could keep Shiner of Austin in business.
Nice.
So that they wouldn't go out of business after giving him his shot. And that's then now we're the crazy. Third largest independent craft brewery in the country.
Oof, amazing. God. What a story. That's why I think that's why we're into beer culture. Yeah. The stories behind stuff like that. I don't know about these stories. So just to know about these stories and all this, the history of it and how it all began and the people who began. And is this guy still around? Also?
Yeah. Mr. Alvarez. He stepped down as CEO of the company just last February, but nice. He still goes into the office a lot. And it's his son-in-law who is taking over. So we're still family-owned business.
Right.
I have got to meet Mr. Alvarez several times. Like, he comes and like he still hosts and is the presenter at our national sales meetings and stuff. Nice. An amazing human being. Like, the stuff he does for his employees, like,
he I want to visit Shiner, man.
Dude, let's go.
Let's do it.
I'm down.
Yeah, one of the cool things for us in our warehouse, like, we still have pictures around the warehouse of the original Shiner with a bunch of sheep and rams in front of the building.
Oh,
with the old,
because it was
the
in old a pasture.
Yeah, with the old tower in front of it, the old smoke tower.
I would also like to point out, too, that this is good as hell.
The salt lime? Yeah. Wait till you, on tap, this is like this is magical on tap.
This would be so great during the summer.
And like I said, it's close to a sour without being a sour, but it's right at that nice midpoint for that.
It's the closest I get from my brewery, and being is that I love sours, that's why I love it so much. Like, I wish we made a sour. We did one in a small batch series that we call Brewer's Pride.
Your Berliner Weiss?
No, the Berliner Weiss was, that was before my time, but I can't remember what series that was in, but that was a one and done. Weiss and Easy wasn't a sour. Weiss and Easy used a sour berry.
Okay. Cause that's what I thought it was. Cause it gave me the Weiss base.
It tasted just like a Berliner Weiss.
That's why.
But it was because there's a berry in Texas that's called a dewberry.
Dewberry.
And it's all, like, if you look at it, it looks exactly like a blackberry, has blackberry profile, everything, but it's naturally sour. We made that Weiss and Easy with that. And that's why it had that sourness to it, but we didn't actually sour it.
Okay,
but we did use that dewberry to make a really limited beer called Dewberry Tart.
I remember that one. Amazing. That one was good.
That thing was fantastic.
I'm pretty sure that there's a brewery in town here that uses dingleberries.
Wow. Shots fired. Shots are fired right here, man.
The rhombus?
Whoa. Man,
I can say that because there's no more.
Yeah, there's no more rhombus, right?
There's no more rhombus. So rhombus, I can say that, dead. And then I'm not dogging somebody. Nope.
Yeah, rhombus died. Who's rhombus anyway?
Rest in peace.
Rest in peace, rhombus.
Yep.
Let's give a shout out to RIP rhombus. Toast.
Cheers, guys.
RIP rhombus.
You can still go get their pizza.
Yeah.
So.
Yep.
Hey, their pizza's the best. One of the best in town, actually.
I debate that. I think up north beats them. Just because.
You know what? I like
both of them, but
yeah,
I like the fact that at up north, I can get like a general sow pizza.
Yes.
With the sauce. I get the broccoli. I get the carrots and everything on there. Or I can get one with a duck pheasant on there with apple slices and.
Okay,
that is wild and good.
I'm a New Yorker, so the reason why I say that up north is a little better is because it's a little bit more greasier.
Gotcha.
I like I'm all about pizza. The crust.
I like greasy pizza,
and I'll go with the crust too, especially if it's a thin. If it's got if it's stiff, I like it. But if it's got a little bit of flop, it's got a good topping on there, so I'll take that. But
some place I never think of to get from, but I got it the other day.
Yeah,
And it was good as hell. Was pizza. That Pete.
Oh, yeah. Over here, the little mall thing over there. Yeah,
right over there by Caribou Coffee.
Yeah, it's pretty decent. Yeah, it's pretty decent.
Pizza is good. I like them a lot.
Well, you guys have a spicy pie up here, too, don't you?
No, we used to. They closed down. The guy died.
Spicy pie. They were in a bad spot. They were in a strip mall right next to Noodles and Company.
Yeah, where House of Punjab is at now.
Yeah.
House of Punjab. The guy died, actually.
Yeah.
That sucks. Yeah. Because, being again, I live in Fargo. They still got spicy pie. I love spicy
pie. And if they were if they would have done it right, they should have put it downtown where it would have thrived, like the Drunken Noodle.
Oh, spicy pie.
There's a name. Awesome. The names are there for the reason. Like, it works.
You know, it's GFBS, so I'm going to call out the bullshit. And I got to tell you, worst pizza I've ever had in my life.
Spicy pie?
And they didn't like even try to remedy it at all.
What's that?
Boss.
Boss Pizza?
Really?
Yep.
Okay.
I never really have
Is that here in town? I don't
even know. Yeah. It's in a hotel.
It's in a hotel, yeah.
Or it's outside of a hotel built into it.
I mean, I'm not going to say that for like the entire franchise or the business itself, but the management at that time, whoever it was, like they
making
didn't.
Hardwood pizza.
I mean, it was so thin and floppy. I mean, it was like, it was unedible.
New York style, right? And it's supposed to be like you're supposed to have to fold it in half and drip the grease in your
mouth? Well, New York, it has to bend. You have to be able to, like, it has to bend on its own. You fold it in half, and the front half bends down. It's Boss Pizza's hardwood, bro.
I'll go with you. Like, for what I think they're, I think they're actually really good. Mike's Pizza on the east side. I love their.
Oh, Mike's is awesome.
Well, their fried chicken and pizza combo is probably one of the best in town, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, they got a great buffet.
Yeah. And.
They're, I agree.
The owner is amazing. Yep. She is so awesome.
Yep. And they have ice cream. It's all kid friendly too. Like they have a buffet. They have ice cream in there for the kids.
Yeah, I like.
There's a nice bar in there if you want to have some drinks. They have a really good patio too that oversees the river.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure she funds the roller derby teams in town too.
The Sugar Beaters and all them.
Yep.
Okay.
I've never been to roller derby.
It's fun. It's more or less you want to partake because you want to get physical too. Like you want to throw your weight around.
Is it men and women?
No, it's women.
Just women?
Yeah. So,
okay.
Are there any men's roller derby leagues? I think it's all women.
It's all women.
It's all women now?
Yeah, it's all women.
I think guys, you probably kill each other.
Probably. Right. Well,
I could just identify as a woman and go into it.
You could do that.
you could say that. Yeah. You really want to go down that road today, don't you? Yeah. You sure you want to go down that road today?
He is really close to Minnesota.
I mean, I identify as a gerbil today.
Watch out with your gear.
You're not going up my ass. Yeah.
I just, you know what? Just, you can't get enough of this. We can't escape this.
I love it.
No, we can't escape this. Everybody's identifying as something different these days. What's going on in the world? They just let kids get away with anything now.
I'm still looking forward to seeing the Daily Wire movie, Lady Ballers.
Oh, that's going to be funny.
Yeah.
You have to actually subscribe. You have to pay to Daily Wire.
The Daily Wire Plus. It's like $60 for a subscription for a year.
I looked at it. I was like, where is this streaming? Because I keep seeing all the ads for it.
Yeah.
No. And so I looked. I was like, oh, man, it's only streaming.
See, and I was actually a member. I even got my Leftist Tears mug from them and everything.
Nice.
But then I canceled it because they weren't really doing anything. But they have a movie on there that I think everybody should watch. It's called Run, Hide, Fight. It is awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, hold on. Let me finish this.
What you got there, Alan?
I got the Shiner Tex-Hex IPA, the Bruja. This is
Bruja, yeah.
Yeah, this is the wit. This is with a cactus.
That's the single IPA of the one I was describing for you earlier, the Twin Dream. Yep. So that's we're trying to kick off a whole new line of IPAs, whereas you're familiar with New England's or Hazy's.
Yep.
We're calling them Southwest IPAs.
Nice.
So you use the same hops profile of a New England, which is that really nice, easy to drink, tropical passion fruit guava style. But we do filter it, and we use cactus water.
Oh, nice.
So that's why we call it a Southwest IPA.
That's amazing.
Love it.
I was butchering the name of this right away, so I'm like Brew Jaws, whatever, and I Bruja. Got corrected quickly. Like,
it's Bruja?
Bruja for a witch. Bruja.
Witch in Spanish.
Got you.
I would like to just clarify, too, that we do have a disclaimer at the end of the show, letting everybody know that are the guests here
and does
not have the thoughts and opinions of the hosts of this show.
Yeah. They're under
the okay. The fact that you said you want to see Lady Ballers, I'm pretty sure we're in the same mindset. Like I said, I grew up in rural Missouri.
Matt Walsh with a wig on with a beard, like, it's a
I'm all for it, man.
It's so funny.
Where can you see this at?
It's on Daily Wire Plus. You have to subscribe.
I know it. I have a friend that subscribes to it.
Have you seen the previews for it yet?
No, never. It's so stupid.
Oh, my God.
It's funny as hell.
It's going to be funny.
Have you guys seen that obliterated thing on Netflix? People just get just obliterated, drunk, crazy.
No. I think I might like it, though.
It's actually super stupid, but I think it's funny. It was
stupid in a good way.
Yeah, I like stupidity movies. I don't know. They kind of like
a Jackass.
Yeah.
One I've been thinking about checking out that I keep seeing on Netflix was apparently they made a reality show out of Squid Game.
Oh, yeah.
I want to see that. Yeah. I really do. I loved Squid Game.
Squid Game is awesome.
Yeah. Fantastic. And the reality one has gotten mad.
Did you see it?
Mad good reviews. I haven't seen it. Yeah. I'm trying to watch it late at night because it's my only free time, and my wife doesn't want to watch. She didn't watch Squid Games with me, and I did.
I'm in the exact same boat.
Yeah. And I got to watch all my. It's the same with Black Mirror. My wife won't watch it, but I'll watch it because it's going to drive her nuts because she's going to get confused or mad because it's portraying real life and every stupid scenario that could happen that screws with the world.
See, I think I don't know if I'm going to enjoy it because I'm like Squid Game. I mean, there's the point to it.
Yeah.
I think is going to be lost when it's when
you can't kill people.
But when they're not just getting
when it's not really life or death.
What's the point of it, right?
The only reality series that are good are when you actually kill people.
Yep. Exactly, right? And they actually really die, right?
That's why The Purge was so good.
Yeah, The Purge is amazing.
Even though you didn't win any prizes,
I joke around all the time. and tell the guys in jail that I'm just going to throw in a bunch of swords in here, and you guys. Whoever lives gets all the food at this time.
Don't even give them the sword. Just give them sticks with rusty nails in it.
Yeah.
No, they actually make their own really cool, weapons all the time.
They're Chauvin stabbers?
Totally. They turn toothbrushes into knives.
Little shivs.
Oh, my God. They tear stuff off walls and turn them into shivs. They are most – this one guy made a penis out of soap.
You gotta have some. You gotta have some.
Penis isn't something you're lacking for in prison.
Listen, it was a very well constructed penis. I looked. I was like, man, this is actually really art.
I feel like you can get that anywhere you want in prison. That's something you don't need to make your own.
That sounds like something you would want in your mouth, though.
It's true.
That's the thing. Like, you took a lot of time to make some detailed artwork in there and get all the veins and everything right.
Vein.
Listen, listen. These guys are in there making
circumcised or uncircumcised.
Yes,
your imagination is just running wild here.
They're making some of the best artwork you could ever see. You'd be like, man, these guys are so freaking talented. They just stopped doing meth.
How'd you get that red color? That's so vibrant. That's my blood.
The only thing gross. You're going to have to ask, please don't make it throb.
Oh, listen. All I could say to the guy was, why did you make a penis, bro? What were you thinking of? The ongoing joke in jail is, you're gay for this day. Yeah. That's the ongoing joke. I mean, it is what it is, right? Anyway, what are we drinking here, Al? What are we drinking?
Oh. Since we're off the topic of gay for this day, we're drinking the Brewhouse Witch IPA.
Identify as gay.
If you identify as a woman, do you get to go to a women's prison?
Yes.
No. Okay, listen.
Dude.
Ready? You ready?
A girl pregnant in a women's prison.
Who?
And it wasn't a guard?
A tranny went into a women's prison and got a girl pregnant.
He identified as a woman.
Nah. That's not. Okay, the way it works is... If you come into a facility, we have people come to the facility. We got a person who has a beard and looks like a guy, but still has girl parts. Going with the girls.
Okay, it is your parts. If you haven't had the actual surgery,
whatever parts you have, that's where you're gonna go. But it's hard to put a female male with the male parts with males because.
The size is not the same.
Well, not even that. They just would probably, do some bad things to the person because the person is, identifying as a woman.
You can't fight that kind of pressure off.
So it would probably not go well. So we kind of have to put them into smaller units where they're not bothered and stuff like that. But, it depends, man. But, we do run across this problem a lot. In facilities, and we have
even
to ask
Grand Forks, North Dakota.
Have no idea. Listen, okay, ready? I'll give them a story.
Yeah,
one day I'm at work, I'm changing some guy out or whatever, and you have to change him out when they come in, And so I, take his clothes off, and he, he's naked, and there's some metal thing in his buttocks. And I'm like, what the hell is going on here, man?
Trying to smuggle something in?
I said, excuse me, sir, you got to take... Whoa, did you see that?
No.
Oh, never mind. We have a slew of women that walk by here, and two really good-looking blondes just walk by.
Yeah, I never see any. Okay. I got the wrong.
Me and Paul got the best seats in the building, so Alan's always like, where?
Yeah. I'm just hoping there's I'm just hoping it bounce a reflection off.
They walk around in a circle, so they'll come back.
Again. So you like old women?
Yeah, I mean, whatever.
Because the mall walkers are always like 60, 70 plus. So.
I'm okay with that, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
just making sure.
No, these are daycare walkers.
Yeah, these are daycare walkers. Oh. Whole different kind of walkers.
Yeah. Okay.
But anyway.
I almost thought you said day walkers like vampires. Like, Jesus.
No, but true story. This guy comes in and he's super uncomfortable. He's super sketchy. I'm like, why is this guy moving around so much? What the fuck is wrong with him? You know, normally it means the guy has drugs. So he bends over kind of, and I see it's like this little metal thing. I'm like, hey, this metal thing in your buttocks, man. What is that? He goes, oh, that's just my pleasure plug. I'm like, your pleasure plug? I'm like, hey. I call out in the hallway, hey, can you somebody get me a plastic bag here? Yeah, I'm like, sir, that pleasure plug's going to have to go.
You don't get to take that in with you.
Pleasure plug's got to go, buddy. You know, he's like, okay. Right, so he pulls a little plug out. And, sometimes you got to go through uncomfortable situations like that. I mean, he has a plug in his buttocks. It's weird.
The weirder part is that he thought he could take it into prison with him. That's the weird part.
Well, no. Know what the problem was? When he came to jail, the police officer that brought him to jail said that he was probably going to get right out. And he was going to be able to bail out and get out. But when he got there, he realized he couldn't bail out and get out. He had to stay to the next day to see a judge before he got out. So the officer gave him wrong information. So when he found out he was staying, it was like, oh my God, you know, it was like the walk of shame into the shower. It's like, he's just walking down the hall, y'all slow. I'm like, what is wrong
with
this guy?
Based on everything else I've heard, I'm thinking he would be in heaven for a night in prison.
No, he wasn't in heaven because, you know, they have to stay in a holding cell for like 48 hours. So they can't go like to the back.
Oh, he didn't get to play around.
He can't go back to the back with the guys.
He didn't get to be a kid in a candy store.
No. You know what? And it's weird because, you know, a lot of things go on in facilities that you just don't want to talk about. So anyway, we'll move right along. That's what happened. That's one of my stories. I got a million stories. We'll talk about it later.
Now
when
I know
we're
what
drinking.
A pleasure plug is.
So anyway,
I've never
Alan
heard of that before. So
yeah, it's like a drain plug.
What we got next, Alan? What we got next?
Stops up the flow.
Yeah, listen. Hey, I don't know what's wrong with people, man. They just do weird things. They just do weird things, and people just, you know, they come to jail. And they don't know, you know.
Does he get it when he leaves?
Yes.
Oh God.
Yes. Yes. We have to. So everything somebody.
I'm just picturing it's got like red tape wrapped around like the do not cross.
Listen.
Caution tape.
Listen. True story.
Stored somewhere else because it smells up the whole evidence.
I'm not bullshitting. True story. There have been guys that came in. This one guy comes into jail all the time. Literally, he has a bag of dildos, vibrators. He has at least like 15 to 20 in there all the time. I'm like, what is he doing carrying this around all the time? And you know what he does all the time? Hey, call my lady. Tell my lady to come pick up my backpack. And in the backpack, there's like 17 vibrators, you know, 3 dildos and some plugs and some weird beads.
Just leave it at home, buddy. Come on.
No, he's always carrying his bag around. It's the weirdest thing. I mean, people are so weird. You know,
it's like one of those comfort pills you sleep with.
Yeah,
you
know,
you want to hear something that's
shoot.
Freaking, this is so
it's true, though. Yo, it's crazy. Yeah.
Apparently, I'm related to this guy.
Oh,
he showed
gosh.
Up at one of our family's funerals, and he's kind of out there. But he built this game that people would bet on. And it's like horse racing.
Right.
But it was like this big platform. And he would have like 6 dildos, like or vibrators. And he'd turn all the vibrators on. And then people would bet on which vibrator got to the bottom fast.
What? That's like a wiener dog race.
That's a bet. And people would bet on which color one is going to make it.
Does he still have it?
Oh, I'm sure he does.
You want to call him up and get him over here or what? Let's do it on the show. Let's just drink some beer and have the dildo race right here on the table.
I don't know if I can watch that because I think I'd rather I'm gonna end up throwing money there like a stripper, like,
you know, here,
take my money
let's
or like
just do it let's
or you know
do
what?
It.
It's gonna be like, let's shoot some dice and see who actually finishes first.
I feel like he needs to market this to the places that bring in sex toy bingo.
Yeah,
like you can have both. You can have sex toy bingo and like sex toy like races
do it,
at
yeah.
the same time.
Is this maybe not a funeral?
No, so not, he brought it to the funeral.
Yeah.
So this is going to be a part of the 2024 beer calendar that we're going to do, huh?
Yes, this is going to be a part of it. Yeah. Listen, I'm going to tell you that right now. That would be awesome for the show. Hilarious as hell. I'm sure you'll watch that one for sure.
Oh, yeah.
We'd have my 90-year-old grandma betting. She's throwing fives down.
We'd have to have a drone above us watching that thing go in motion.
We could do that. We can do that. We've been thinking about that, too. We think about this drone thing, right, Alan?
No, yeah. I saw a drone yesterday by the Hilton yesterday just floating around, just chilling. I'm like, this doesn't look good.
We were a little late, but I've been trying to get a certain drone. This guy that flies drones. I've been trying to come to do the tap parties and we do the tap takeover things.
Yeah, like fly over.
Just fly over and take pictures of everybody there. But he wasn't available. I really wanted to try that. I just think it'd be something cool and different.
Dude, you can buy a drone for like $25.
Yeah. Hey, have you seen online how
they with camera though?
Yeah.
Good. Yeah, they can. They still come with cameras.
Yeah, they do. Oh, sure. Have you seen the?
They just don't.
You seen the video that has gone viral from Hackamore Brewing when they flew the beer over on the drone to the person? Hackamore is in Minnesota in Chanhassen there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
right. Chan's only like maybe 30 minutes.
Yeah, it's from not far from you at all. Yep. Yeah, in Chanhassen because there's Chanhassen and there's Hackamore in the same town in Chanhassen. So I actually went to Chanhassen and then I buckled over to Hackamore. Hackamore is really, I don't know if you've been there, but Hackamore's new, super new. It's probably like 5 months, 6 months new, but it's an amazing brewery. And they've gone international, like all over the world. If you can Google drone flying beer.
Drone beer delivery.
They've got over freaking 100 million views, and I don't know. They just were playing around one day.
Have you seen people flying on drones?
Yes, that's pretty damn cool too.
Yeah, that's awesome.
But anyway, Hackamore Brewing. They you had some Hackamore beer before too.
Very good.
They're just up and coming, and they're just doing their thing. But I mean, they definitely got the eyes on them over there now. People looking at them.
Nice.
So now, if they're flying beers now, if the beer is good, then it's really a good thing.
It's like when they were first.
I
mean, they've been around, but like they really got well known when they did the whole cease and they got delivered the whole cease and desist thing from Budweiser.
Yes,
I remember that.
Yeah.
So what did they do?
Really put Modest. So it was when the whole really stupid ass Dilly Dilly thing was going around for Bud Light, and so they made a beer called Dilly Dilly to make fun of Bud Light, basically. Bud Light sent in, like, it was seriously like an old town crier, like you think of from like the 1500s, like standing in a public square reading a scroll. Well, they sent him in to Modest to read them their cease and desist letter. Right. Like, so he walks in like in full regalia, like from the 1600s, drops a scroll to the floor and starts reading from it.
I hope that was videotaped.
Viral. And that's when Modest, like, that's because, like, Modest was known, but they weren't really, really well known until that happened, because that video went more viral than like their beer could reach. Ooh. Like, now they're a lot bigger.
Cool.
Because the Dilly Dilly thing was what, like eight, 9 years ago?
Yeah.
So Modest hadn't been around that long.
Yeah, because that was with the Knights.
It wasn't the Dilly Dilly Mulvaney.
No, this was with, they had the Knights. That was when they had the Platinum Knight.
Wow.
Yep.
Yep, I remember that. That was at least 8 years, because Modest is only like...
When Modest was starting up.
They're just about 8 years old.
It blew them into the stratosphere because people all over the country are watching this video because it's a Bud Light thing. Like Bud Light sent the person in.
Yeah, they make great beer too, yeah.
Yep.
They make great beer. I like Modest. Mm-hmm. What do you think about Lakes of Legend closing down there?
About what's that?
Lakes of Legend? Is that what it's called?
Lakes and Legends?
Oh, I never had too much of their stuff.
Never?
I mean... When you live in Minneapolis,
so much beer.
Openings and closings are every day a new one closes, every day a new one opens. The sad one for me was Dangerous Man in Northeast. I'm a fan.
I was there.
They closed.
I know. I was at the last night there. I was at
that was sad for me because I love Dangerous Man.
So do I.
But I mean, I live in Brooklyn Park and I've got a 5-year-old, so I'm not in the scene downtown near as much as I used to be into. So, I mean, I still try everything that I can. I'm a craft beer person. That's why I sell beer. I love to try other people's stuff.
And we got to meet Anthony and a couple of those guys from the Black River podcast down there.
Yeah.
They're really cool.
Yeah, they actually made a beer with 56 Brewing. It was called...
56 makes some good stuff.
They do.
Yeah, I've done their 5K before. So they do a 5K where you run around the brewery and then you go in and have some beers. Yeah. They've got like a... It wasn't a cranberry sour. I think it was a raspberry sour.
Yeah.
It was phenomenal.
Yeah, like, I was there not too long ago, and it was... All their beer was really great. The people there were awesome. Service was great. And then a friend of ours from the Black Brewers podcast who also worked at Dangerous Man.
Oh, nice.
Anthony. And he they made a beer with another person. She used to work at Clutch Brewing.
Okay, I know Clutch.
Yeah, so she made a – her name is E. That's what they call her, E. She's a brewer. She's really good, actually. She made a cocoa – what is it, Coco de Mar?
Coco de Mar. It's an imperial coconut porter that they made.
Yeah, it was really good.
That sounds delicious.
I'll bring one for you tonight.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, I'll bring one for you tonight.
That sounds delicious.
Yeah, it was really good beer. It was tasty. Well, and it was delicious.
So they do a 5K like that?
Yeah.
So every year Fulton does like a Grand Cru, and they do a bicycle tour. Nice. That's what I wish they would bring it back, but they got rid of it. Was they did a brujitsu, so they brought in a lot of jujitsu experts from around the country.
Nice.
And I wish I had the opportunity to go there because it was full gi and it was just a jujitsu tournament all day thing.
Just going hard all
day.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Fulton does a lot of cool stuff. Fulton makes great beer too.
Yeah, they do make
beer. I have a question for you, and I don't want this to sound like insulting. And it goes for Shiner, Newcastle, Modelo. I mean, pretty much any beer that you can think of. Other than Bud Light, Busch Light, all these ones that like dominate, you know, the atmosphere when it comes to like beer advertising and everything.
Yeah.
I mean, does it cost? Like, I mean, because obviously Shiner is way better than all of these beers that, you know, like the Bud Lights and the Busch Lights and all that kind of stuff. I mean, they got way of flavor there, you know, but are they like, does it cost a lot more to make these beers as opposed to like a Bud Light or something? I mean, I don't understand why they dominate like the Super Bowl advertising and all that kind of stuff.
That gets down into like, because some do. So if you're looking at like a lot of the newer stuff, like your heavily fruited sours, like I'll use Drekker for example. I don't even want to imagine what the cost of ingredients is for Drekker.
Okay.
Like through the roof. But yes. Now if you're talking like a Shiner Bock in comparison to a Bud Light, no, our cost isn't really a whole lot different. Even within Bud Light, I used to work for Budweiser for several years, and Bud Light actually costs less to make than Natural Light.
Really?
Yep. But it is 100% the marketing aspect of it.
Oh, yeah.
They call it Mako, so it's your margin per barrel. And every beer has a Mako. And it's how much dollars and cents go into making a barrel of Bud Light, Natural Light, Busch Light, so on and so forth. Busch Light's one of the more expensive ones. And that's where like we tend to be on the more expensive side to make too, because it has to do with your adjunct that you use. So rice is dirt cheap. You can go to Sam's Club and buy a 20-pound bag of rice. And I'm not saying they do that to make it cheap. Right. Every adjunct gives you something different in your beer. And so if you want that really crisp finish, you adjunct with rice. Mm. So it's not a cheapening of the Bud or Bud Light that they do that. But you can have a corn adjunct, and a corn adjunct gives you a clean, smooth finish. So all of our beers have a very high corn adjunct. The corn's more expensive as an adjunct, whereas Busch Light has a very high corn adjunct. And so that's one of their more expensive beers to produce because it's got the corn in it. So your adjuncts have a lot to do with it, but really, I mean, as long as you're not getting into your anything with an adjunct outside of a grain,
right?
As long as you're not using fruits and peanut butter and all of that stuff, your costs aren't very differently. Now it's your scale, like anything. Like when you're buying that much wheat or that much barley, you're going to get it cheaper.
And then you got to add in all the hops.
Yep.
Yeah, because what I was thinking of is, you know, it's so easy to just go to the liquor store and you get a Dirty 30 of Busch Light. But it would be nice to just be able to, like, because you said you have a Shiner Premium, which is basically like a lager. It would be nice to just get that instead of Busch Light, because it probably tastes a hell of a lot better.
Yeah.
And in Texas, we sell it like a 24-pack, same price as a Bud Light, Miller Light, Coors Light, or Shiner Premium is. Outside of Texas, unfortunately, because we pay for all the shipping.
Oh, I suppose, yeah, you got to pay for the transportation of all of it and everything. Yeah, that makes sense.
And then once it touches down to our warehouse, then we have to make money. Then the retailer's got to make their money.
Well, it's like Kokanee, too. I mean, I think Kokanee is a really, really great beer, you know, but it's super expensive because it comes from Canada.
Well, if you need some, I could always grab some for you. I'm always there.
But I mean, that's my point, though.
It's a good question. Yeah. I mean, you do have some costs just because of the scale.
Right.
But for the most part, no. I mean, as long as you're just talking traditional beer styles, not getting in anything crazy. Like, I wasn't even thinking of the hops part of it because I'm not a huge IPA fan. But your hops have a huge amount to do with it, too.
Yeah.
So your IPAs and your hops is one of the most expensive ingredients.
Yeah, totally.
So if you're adding extra hops to make it a full IPA or even a double or a triple, that's way, way more expensive.
Well, okay. And if you're looking at hops too, about 90% of the hops in the country come from Yakima Valley up in Washington.
Yep.
And either they ship them, either they all freeze dry them and or cryo freeze them, or they will send them fresh. Like if you want them fresh, you have to go there or get them shipped to you pretty fast, and you have to
48 hours.
Yep. Other than that, it's dead on contact.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's
and the big brewers have contracted out most of the hops, too. So that's the other thing you got to look at. You like a small craft brewery might not be able to get from the big-time hops grower. They might all be contracted out. So you got to go to some smaller-level hops grower who his costs are higher, so he's selling his hops for higher. So
And like you look at Deschutes, like their fresh squeeze, they have contracts with Amarillo and Chinook hops. Founders, their Centennial, they have a contract for Centennial hops. Fulton has their Mosaic for the 300, that's contracted, and that's a high price to pay.
Exactly.
Mosaics are one of the most – Mosaic and Citrus, Chinook and Amarillo are some of the most highly used hops for all the beer styles, and they're high priced, like, just because you got to get them there.
So, you know, what's crazy about that, talking about the hops situation, you know, did you know in Canada that they make it so that everybody's playing on the even field in Canada?
I can believe that with Canada. That's what usually communists do. Yeah.
It's true though. He's right. They do that. They make the field wide open for everybody. So basically, like in British Columbia, which is not far from Seattle, right there, they got their own hop thing going on there too, and everybody's able to buy from that same situation.
Yep, the same pool.
Yes, everybody's be able to get from the same pool. If you want to go somewhere else, and you gotta have to pay a little bit more, right? But that's what they do in Canada. It's like like even in Canada with music on Canadian music stations. They have to play like 60%.
I thought it was Canadian. Like 80%.
Maybe it's 80. It could be more. They have to pay a higher percentage of their own Canadian music than any other country because they want their artists to succeed, right? So that's what they do.
There's been some good music. Is it Nickelback from Canada?
Yep. Yeah.
Who's that?
Nickelback.
Oh, yeah, Nickelback.
Oh, you got to be shitting me.
Nickelback. Ready? Watch it. I need you to see this expression. Let's get this. And the best rappers from Canada, Drake.
I'm not a Drake. Yeah, he's right up there with Nickelback.
Drake.
Nickelback's more accepted now, too.
And the best R&B singers from Canada, The Weeknd.
Oh, he's good.
He's good. Oh, he's good.
Shania Twain's Canadian.
Shania Twain is Canadian.
Celine Dion's Canadian, too.
Yep. Celine Dion, yeah. I mean, what's left of her anyway.
I mean, Ryan Reynolds is Canadian, so that's all you need right there. I love Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah, Ryan Reynolds is awesome. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I could look at all his movies. He's just a funny guy.
Yeah.
He's freaking hilarious. Yeah. Even his Green Lantern was good.
Wasn't Green Lantern awesome?
Yeah, his one was awesome.
Yeah, I thought that was a great movie. I don't know.
I didn't like that Green Lantern outfit because it gave all the striations. It didn't look proper.
Nothing about that movie was proper to the books.
But I thought
he was funny as hell. Yeah,
it was funny. Yeah. I was just hoping for like it would look more on the comic book side. But that's like you and I both know that's the nerdiness of that.
No, it's never gonna happen.
Never.
No,
we'll never get what we want.
Drake and Nickelback should make a come together and make like a cool album just to make the most awful thing on frickin' earth.
No,
Justin Bieber too, bro.
It's Drake and Bieber.
Bieber, yeah,
Bieber's Canadian.
Bieber's not bad.
Listen, I was at, listen.
Some Bieber fever.
I was at a Nickelback concert in Canada, and women were throwing panties on stage to those guys. Okay,
I've seen Nickelback throwing panties
on stage.
My wife loves Nickelback, and I can't stand it.
Yeah. I've seen Nickelback twice, and they actually put on a good show.
They could, man. They could perform, man. Chad is the shit, man.
Although I'll say this. At one of the Drake shows, some lady threw her freaking bra up there, and it was like huge. the biggest bra ever. Yes. Like
was this the one that just recently happened? Yeah, there was the video of it.
Yeah, it's like a triple G or whatever.
Drake was like, "What the hell is this?"
Yeah. He was looking for the woman. She was so stoked and giddy that she got it. Like,
he likes big women too. He likes the thicker they are, the better. Drake but likes thick
the
women.
Fact that
like, because he has no taste.
But the fact that bra
and music
that bra
or women.
I know. We have this argument all the time. Hey, listen, do you know Drake's body count is? Do you know what Drake's body count, like, you know, how many women he's been with? Like Rihanna, let's just start there.
Two.
Okay.
Well, I mean, are we, if they're 350, are we counting them as like three people?
He was with Rihanna. He was with Serena Williams. I mean,
that's a man. That's not so bad. He's bi.
Her body says man, but some other things say woman, you know?
Like, she's going to break him in hell.
Right? And he was with J-Lo. I mean, he had the older woman, too.
Like, he's got more number one Billboard hits than anybody, but I'm personally not a fan.
Yes, okay.
Because like, he sucks.
His music's also slow. And, like, I mean, if I want to listen to rap, I want Jay-Z. I think Jay-Z is the greatest rapper of all time. Like, love Jay-Z. I hate how Drake gets called a rapper. Like, Drake's not a rapper.
He's a pop artist.
Yeah. I just do the Drake thing to bother him because he hates Drake.
I don't like Post Malone either.
Hey, let's make this very clear.
I like Post Malone.
I am from Brooklyn, New York.
Oh, so you love
know,
Jay-Z.
You know who I know the best rapper in the world is.
Biggie.
That is Jay-Z, okay? Jay-Z is the... He's running circles around guys.
And not just the rap, like everything he does. He's such a freaking genius.
Jay-Z's like... I always say Jay-Z's up there. Like, he's in the... He's like in outer space, and everybody else is trying to get there.
He's playing 3D chess, and everybody else is playing...
Exactly.
Whatever. The best rapper that is out there is Scatman.
I'm just beginning to think he's just...
I think he's just fucking with me.
He's just a left-wing guy. That guy?
Y'all need Jesus.
Yeah. Scat man. I'm a scat man. No, I think, my thing is, if you had the top three rappers, ready? Jay-Z. For me. Jay-Z. KRS-One, because this is my era.
Okay.
You don't know if you know what KRS-One is, but he's amazing. Yep. Jay-Z, KRS-One, and Biggie. That's my top three.
So, being a Kansas City boy, I go Jay-Z, Eminem, Tech N9ne.
Oh, Tech N9ne.
You're fired.
Hey, listen,
you're fired.
Tech N9ne's in my top 10.
I love Tech N9ne.
Tech N9ne's in my
top
10.
I've been listening to Tech N9ne since I was in seventh grade.
I'm going to tell you why Tech N9ne's in my top 10. We'll get to your top three in a second. He's in my top 10 because I've seen him live. Right,
I don't amazing even have show.
I don't even have seen him live. I booked him live, and when I booked him, we only had him for one show, but he was so damn good. We booked him for the next day.
You guys probably have island boys in your fucking car.
Yeah, he did it. He did the show. And what makes Tech N9ne the best is that he brings his own sound system to the venue
because he's broke. Because nobody listens to his shit.
He has his own sound. He has his own sound man and everything. And he has his own sound guy. He does all the sound in the venue he's in. He does all the sound himself. He brings his own sound people. He has the actual like vans for his sound stuff. And he has
travels
his bus.
Around the shows with
yes,
him.
He travels around everywhere. He's an amazing and he's super professional. He's a very nice person. He's very easy to talk to. And he's all about just making sure the show is dope.
Hey, I'll keep him just in business with myself. He was my number five artist this year on my Spotify Wrapped.
There you go.
He was.
All right, Alan, who's your top three rappers, man? Come on.
I grew up with Biggie.
There you go. I'm from Brooklyn. You know,
Biggie. I like Jay-Z, but it was Eminem.
Hey, Eminem's dope. Yeah. Eminem's dope. Yeah.
I don't know.
Number three, man. Come on.
I wanted to say it's not Tupac because I'm okay with him, but it wasn't. I liked the NWA better.
Yeah, go with NWA, the group.
Yeah, the group.
Go with I like that
because I liked Eazy-E.
Fuck the police.
I liked Eazy-E and I like Snoop Dogg a lot, and I like Ice Cube. Like actually, Ice Cube can actually throw bars.
See, I could say this right, but I know little white kids in America when Alan was growing up.
Oh God,
he was saying the N word in the motherfucking mirror. You know what I'm saying? I ain't saying that shit.
I had
he was once a dog from around the way.
I had NWA, the album, and I hid it from my mom because I grew up in San Diego with that.
That was hard. That was a hard album.
I grew up within San Diego as a surfer kid. I'm like, I had to hide this.
Eazy-E and NWA, that is a hard album. They say the word, the N word, at least
every other word
300 times, 400 times on the album.
Although it's only a 400 word song.
I know.
Although I will agree. I like Tech N9ne because I've actually seen him live a few times, I've gotten to see him with Hollywood Dead, and I've partied with Hollywood Dead before.
Yeah,
so that was the cool part.
I wanted to go to that Undead and Tech N9ne. Oh my God, I wanted to go to that. So
I didn't get to meet Tech N9ne, but I got to meet Hollywood Dead and hang out with them. I got felt up by Charlie and Danny. Like, awesome. Oh, you're a big guy. So they're like, dude, you're a big dude. Like, you want to party with us? They were taking shots of SoCo and in South Dakota, and we were on the bus partying with them. Like, it was great.
That's awesome.
It was in Aberdeen of all goddamn towns.
Aberdeen.
Ooh, I like Aberdeen.
I like Aberdeen.
Yeah, Aberdeen's actually a cool town.
They got a really good craft beer bar and burger bar.
Yep, down
there. They do. Pounders.
Yep.
Yeah, we're just sitting here avoiding, you know, asking Paul his top three. That's all.
We're just
putting it on.
We already know Scatman number one.
Paul, what is your top three?
Who's your top three rappers? Come on.
Well, first off, when you were talking about looking in the mirror, I think there was a movie that came out in the 90s. I think it was called, like, White Boys or something.
Oh, no.
And it was this guy, like, this white kid that he ended up, like, trying to go into Chicago to buy some drugs and stuff. But he was a huge, like, rap guy. He ended up getting, like, beat the shit out of and his money stolen, and then like afterwards all the podcasts are
sure that wasn't Malibu's Most Wanted.
I think Malibu's Most Wanted was a takeoff of this, but he ends up getting the shit beat out of him by these like drug dealers in Chicago or whatever, and he's like, am I in? Like he's like gonna be part of the gang now.
Paul, what's your top three rappers?
Ah, man, I mean, I like songs, just, you know, I think T.I. is really good.
Okay, all
right. Go Rock Him, Slick Rick.
Ooh.
I'm a big T.I. fan. I like T.I.
T.I.'s good.
Who are you, yo? Who is this guy? T.I., Rock Him, and Slick Rick? Wow, that's like my childhood heroes. Well, not T.I., but Slick Rick and Rock Him for sure, yo. Yeah. I can remember as a kid living in the projects. When everybody was like, yo, Rakim is here, Rakim is here. And everybody in the project is running to the front like, Rakim is here. And we go see Rakim. He's like, he's super short than you think he is. He's not as tall. He's not tall, but he's a big.
Yeah, people are like, oh, Tupac? Hell with Tupac. Digital Underground, yo.
No. But I remember seeing. Digital Underground. Wow. I remember seeing Rakim. He had like all this jewelry on. It's the first time I've ever seen like jewelry, you know, the big ass.
Yeah, like all the big chains.
Big ass gold chains. But I never realized they were hollow. They wasn't even.
He didn't have real ones?
No, they were real. They were gold, but they were just hollow. They wasn't heavy chains.
Okay, well, I also got to put a big one out there. I'm not a huge fan, but you can't forget about DJ Screw.
Okay, and, all right, DJ Screw.
And,
but he's not a rapper, though.
Lil Kiki. I thought Lil Kiki was pretty good.
I don't know Lil Kiki.
He's from Houston. He's all right. He's
I like that H-Town stuff.
He's like a, for me, he's a C-plus rapper. Yeah, he's not an A or B rapper.
Kind of like your thing with Rakim.
Yeah.
That part of the reason I will always be a huge fan of Tech N9ne is, like, he used to play, even after he'd had a couple hits, like, he still wasn't big time.
No.
And he would still play house parties around the Kansas City area. So you always had a chance
to see of him.
If you went to a house party, like, they had a couple thousand bucks, you could see Tech N9ne there that night potentially.
That's actually like, pretty cool.
It only happened to me once, but like when it happened, it was like the coolest freaking thing. I remember it for the rest of my life. Like I said, I love him. I think he's the greatest.
Yeah,
see, he's this is one of the things I'll give like Jay-Z credit for. So one of the things that I think a really, really great rap artist for is not just their ability to rap, but their bass.
Right.
The bass that they put into their music. Because a lot of it is just like, God, you just can't even like. I mean, they got good lyrics and everything, but the bass is just like unbearable to listen to.
Yeah.
The other one that I think is just as good as Jay-Z
is that
Nas.
Oh, of course,
Nas was good.
The storyteller.
If you would have went top five, Nas would have been in my top five.
I don't think so. I mean, he's a storyteller.
Nas is dope. Nas is like he's a guy when he speaks, it's like you'd be like, damn, how did you come up with that shit? You know, when he raps, it's like, how do you come up with that shit? You know what I mean? Nas is great, man. You got to see him live, too. Nas is dope live. He just, I don't know. He embodies, like, really, like, artistry in rap. You know what I mean? A lot of guys don't have that anymore.
When you're expanding a little bit, you always got to bring in Red Meth, too.
Yep.
Man, that's hard, man. You know, I love Red Meth.
That's the one group of people I wish I'd have been able to see when I was younger because they came close to me.
Yeah.
Method Man and Red Man. The Rock the Mic tour?
Yeah. I've seen them so many times.
I've gotten to see Busta Rhymes, Chingy, Fabulous, and 50 Cent, all them. I would have loved to have seen Method Man and Red Man, though.
And Method Man and Red Man, great show.
Just because I wanted to see him put on the I wanted to see him put on the performance for Judgment Day.
Yeah, that would have been dope.
I think Busta Rhymes is probably the fastest rapper.
I wouldn't say he's the fastest, but Busta Rhymes' show is amazing.
Yeah,
I believe that's actually owned by Eminem.
Yeah,
Eminem owns that record now for the fastest lyricist.
But I don't know. I think his was
fabricated.
Probably be close to beat between Eminem and Tech, right? I think Tech is close too.
You got Twista.
Yeah. Oh, Twista's probably.
That's right. He's
actually. You know what? Twista's in the Guinness Book of World Records.
I thought it was Eminem for Rap God.
You have to look that
most
up.
Most syllables in a, like, it's a given time frame and how many syllables.
Oh, with the MGK
one. Yeah, you are. You
know, but see, this is the problem that I have with that is that I think Eminem was able to do that probably in a studio, and they maybe sped it up, where I think if you were to actually put them live next to each other in front of a microphone, Twister would blow Eminem out of the water. Or Busta Rhymes. Actually, Busta Rhymes, I think, might be the fastest.
I'd like to see that, actually.
I actually think Eminem has great skill in his song. I think he's a little bitch now.
Yeah.
Like, he's a but he's total, Ellen. Like, left-wing, crazy little
He looks like Ellen.
Bitch. Yeah. But like he Ellen. Actually, like, his songwriting and everything, like, he was, and,
Yeah,
but Jay-Z just had the flow. Like, his words are just like butter.
Like, no, I like how Jay-Z can mix up his, like, it's there's just rhyme after rhyme after rhyme after rhyme. Like, everything just like goes. He can like reverse it on just like a dime. Like, even though, like, I mean, how can I? So you got, you know, Celsius. Celsius, Belsius, whatever you want to say, like people are rhyming like that in rap. But Jay-Z, he'll do that for like three words, and then he'll completely switch it to another word, and then just go off of that topic.
Have you ever seen the Fade to Black documentary? You should probably look it up and go watch it, and then you'll see a part in the movie where Jay-Z's recording 99 Problems.
I haven't watched it.
Never watched it. No. So he's recording 99 Problems. And Jay-Z doesn't write any of his raps down. He does all his raps from his head.
I didn't even know that.
He's been doing it for over 20 years now. And the reason why he does that is because he says that he got so busy with life and everything going on that he no longer had enough time to write stuff down. So he started, like, just being able to go to the studio and listen to a beat. And he does this thing that they call the Rain Man thing. So he'll be listening to the beat. He'll play in the beat. And he'll just be going in his head. And he'll just be kind of like doing the verses in his head.
Like all working it out in his head.
All working it out in his head, right? So he's with Rick Rubin. You know who Rick Rubin is?
Yeah.
So he's with Rick Rubin. Rick Rubin has, like, you know, buffalo in his house and goats that are dead and stuff and shit. Like, he's just an odd guy. Rick Rubin's just an odd guy. But
the only hun?
Yeah, he's just super artistic, though. He's an artsy guy. Rick Rubin has people hanging out in his house just because he likes people to hang out in the house. It's weird, though. It's super weird.
I can't be alone in my house.
Yeah, he just likes people hanging out. That's the white room, and it's all white. You know, it's weird. Rick Rubin is super weird. So he goes, so it's a part in the show. You guys got to watch it. And he goes, watch what he does here. Watch what, because he's talking to the camera. He's like, the guy, he never writes nothing down. And then he's doing that part on 99 Problems where he goes, sir, what you pulling me over for? You know, what you pulling me over for? You know, he kept going over it like
son, do you know what I'm pulling you
right, over? Right, right, right. He's like, you know, are you type of something, lawyer or something? You know, like he's going
to be important. Say,
he's killing that shit. Yo, it's like, and Rick Rubin's sitting there going, this is fucking amazing. How does he do this? And then so that's how that happens. But, you know, like, and then they show parts of him in the studio with Timbaland when he did Threat. I don't know if you remember Threat. It's on the Black Album. You know, when he got Cedric the Entertainer's also on the song too. But it's just amazing how he just constructs everything in his brain and then spits it right out. And Lil Wayne's another guy who does that all the time too. So, but I guess you get so good at your craft that you really just really get to a point where you don't have time to be spending time writing that stuff down, right?
Me, like, just to have, like, just that ability, though, just to think about that much.
Yeah, it's crazy, man.
I can barely talk.
No, that's crazy. Yeah.
I can't even rhyme with Celsius.
Oh, God.
I like Celsius. That was pretty good. Like, yeah, that's my boy, Kelsey. So that's right.
We can do Chelsea. That's close.
We got any more beer to drink? Are we good?
Celsius.
Well, I did crack open that Twin Dream.
Twin Dream?
The double IPA from the Tex-Ex series.
That was good.
So double IPA with more cactus juice.
Did I have some of that already? This deck?
Yeah, that's that.
I like this one, actually. This is good.
You know, it's a 9.5% alcohol, but it does not taste like it.
Yeah. One of those, it'll sneak up on you, right?
Yes. That's why I always give caution with those ones. Because I'm a lager drinker typically. So my beers are between 4, maybe 5.5, but really between 4 and 5% alcohol are like most of my beers. So one of those is truly a double for me.
What do you think of the Chill City Lager? You like that one? It's by Fulton.
Oh, we were just talking about that. Yeah, so I haven't had that one. They used to do a Pilsner lager called Four Star Pilsner Lager, okay. and Alan said it's along those lines.
Okay.
Four Star Pilsner Lager was fantastic, like right. out of this world. I wish they still made it. It was super cool. They even marketed it like, hey, this is just a lager. It was not high graphic packaging. It was just plain old cardboard on the sides. Like it was cheaper than other Fulton products because it was just a lower, it was just lager.
Hell yeah.
But it was freaking delicious. I would have drank it all day long.
I just sent a keg of Chill City Chug over to the loft.
Oh, really?
Yep. So
cool.
They'll eventually, they'll
now we got to go by there now.
They'll eventually put it on tap in a little bit.
That's awesome, yeah. So, yeah, I mean, this is episode number 16.
Wow. The House of Bach.
Yeah, you know what? No, most of the time, Mike, we don't usually record 2 weekends in a row, but because you were here, we did.
Oh, man.
Yeah, we did. We figured. Now. We were like, you know what? We just kind of made our schedules work. Like, I usually work all day today, but I worked half a day.
Well, and this is his first time actually coming to the market where we can actually walk to bars and go chit-chat with people because
that's cool.
You don't get that much of an opportunity to go to bars. You just do a lot of off-premise.
Yeah, well, and it was, in the past, there wasn't really somebody in your position that, like, kind of oversaw things from and, like, was really about getting, let's bring in this beer and this beer and this beer. So, I mean, I would go to bars before, but we would go there, like, we'd go to a Scheinerbach bar and... Right. Let them know because that's a big important job too. Like not just getting new accounts, but making sure the accounts that have been paying your check for 5 years that they know that you appreciate it.
Exactly.
And that was what we did more of in the past.
Right.
We went to the places that carried Shiner, and there's nothing wrong with that. Like I love going to those places and being like, thank you very much. I mean, you helped me pay my bills. I really appreciate it.
Right.
But there was never really that push to go out and get new stuff and bring in new brands like this before. And so Alan's really brought that to the table.
Absolutely.
And so it's been. Huge blast for me. Like we went to multiple places that, well, I've been to Joe Black's before, but never before 10 p.m.
Oh.
so we sat down and had lunch.
Oh, lunch, had lunch was delicious.
Yeah, lunch
was
good. Oh, yeah. Joe Black's actually has great food.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can vouch for that.
Yeah, that was delicious. My first time ever at the Skies.
Oh, Skies is awesome.
The new Skies. Yeah. It's gorgeous up there. The hotel and everything, beautiful.
Yeah, it's beautiful there.
Yeah, I mean, it was a really cool day for me. I mean, my background is off-premise.
Okay.
So that tends to be, unless I've got somebody pushing me, like an Allen, to like, hey, let's go hit some bars. Like I'll wind up spending most of my day in the off premise because that's where like I have my comfort zone and where I'm good at it.
Exactly.
Whereas it takes, like I lean on him when we go to the bars because he's got those bars are way, way more relationship.
Oh
like,
yeah, totally.
You can't just walk in somewhere and be like, hey, I'm in town and I got this beer. You want to try it? Now, at Packaged Liquor Store, I can do that all day long because they've got 40 doors. They've got plenty of space for me. So if you don't have that relationship initially, you got to have it at a bar. And Alan's got all of that. So.
Totally. Alan's the guy, man. Like, he really is the guy, Ryan. Trust me. I think most of the places I go now, they know me because of Alan. Yep.
Well, and now, especially at Chara's, I just put Bach on tap there.
Oh, Bach is on tap at Chara's?
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Have you been to Chara's yet or no?
Uh-uh. Good Mexican food.
Oh, my God, yeah. Mexican food. Oh, no, you don't understand. It's, like, really good. They have a margarita flights.
And tequila flights.
I saw a funny meme the other day. It said, I wonder if Mexican people are like, let's go to the white restaurant.
Wow. Let's go have some macaroni and cheese.
I replied on there. I said, you mean Olive Garden?
Yeah. Olive Garden would be a white-ass restaurant. Yeah, that's some bullshit. Yeah.
Did you ever listen to Daniel Tosh back in the day, the comedian?
Of course, yeah.
The great old joke he had about if people tasted like if you were a cannibal.
Yeah.
Like, and it's, do black people taste like fried chicken?
Yeah.
And he's like, and then for all I know, when I get to heaven, God's going to have to be like, what you talking about, motherfucker? White people taste like macaroni and cheese, bitch.
No, I love it. Yo, listen. Those are actually funny jokes. I love it, yo. I think that sometimes, you know, we got to have that humor. You know, everybody's always putting color to stuff and, you know, not making it humorous. Everybody's too serious these days, right?
You can make funny. Can make funny racial jokes. Yeah,
it is funny, though, because, I mean, it's like Paradiso, Mexican restaurant, Mexican village, Charis and tequila, Mexican style, whatever. But you never have, like, Olive Garden, Caucasian.
Red Lobster.
That'd be kind of cool, right? Caucasian Brewery.
It's called the Library.
Right, Caucasian Brewery, right? That guy should be a catchy.
Tastes like white privilege.
Name, right? Right? Yeah, right?
White privilege brewing. There you go.
No. It's Caucasian Brewery, and you have the white privilege IPA.
White privilege lager?
Yeah, white privilege lager. There you go.
White privilege wit. There we go.
There you go.
Good God.
I'm going to wait for the cease and desist out.
You know what? Hey, getting a cease and desist.
We only sell blondes.
Yeah. I love it. Getting a cease and desist is like a badge of honor.
Right? It is.
It's like a badge of honor. It's like, oh, they told us they want us to stop. But, yep. Oh, they're going to sue us. And then you get to post it and go, hey, look. They
and tag them in it so that all their followers.
Yeah. Yep. They're like, oh, we like these little guys. I guess we'll buy their stuff instead of the big guy. I love it. I guess we got to wrap up, huh?
Yeah, we got to get over there and get set up for tonight.
So tonight's going to be at
Jail Beers.
Tap
5 o'clock till close.
Yep.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. We're going to have a good time. I'm going
to
be there.
You got to wrap it up real quick.
Yeah.
We do have to wrap it up. Damn. Okay. Yeah. Well, anyway, we want to thank Mike Maxwell for coming.
Thank you, guys. Thank you for having me.
Mike, we're your regional manager, right?
Yes, sir.
Regional manager for Shiner. We really appreciate you coming by, man.
No, thank you. Blast. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't think we'd get a chance to do this, but we're going to do it more often, you know?
Yeah.
And whenever you're back in town, you're always welcome, man. Come on by.
I'll be on every time.
Yeah, come by and have fun. And I mean, we could even do remote, too.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be kind of cool, but we should really just think about going to Shiner. We should just go for it, man.
I got some free time coming up in January. I'm kind of forced to take
January
free time.
And February is a great time to go to Shiner.
Really?
Because it's like negative 40 up here and it's 70 down there.
That's why I'm like,
let's go.
I have a whole on-the-go remote system. You could take the whole thing down there and do the whole thing.
I guarantee
right
you, we could set it up and actually podcast from the brewery.
Yeah. I got
everything set up.
If we could plan something for the middle of January, I could take some time in January off and we could just go down there, man. Let's just do it. I mean, let's take a shot. Because I'm always going away. Alan's always working.
Yeah,
He's always working all the time. And then I'll be like, where are you? I'm like, oh, I'm in Iowa.
You're like that person who, like, the meme's been going around about, like, when us, we have, like, we're married.
Yes.
I got a kid and everything. Yes. And then your single friend's like, hey, you want to go to China this weekend?
Yes. Like, I'm that guy. Where are you at? I'm in Nebraska, yo.
I'm here stuck slaving away, putting beers on tap, putting smiles to faces.
I'm in Denver.
FaceTiming from a beach, and like he's in the cooler at Happy Harry stocking beer.
I'm in Denver. What are you doing? You know, I'm
drinking my pain away in this cooler here.
Exactly. But we should really, you know what? I think that getting out there more, it just makes us, you know, get out, get everybody listen to us out that way. Get a different energy in Texas. I mean, China seems like a really nice place.
And you'll be back up here for Pork and Brew in January.
Yep, I'll be back up for Pork and Brew.
Oh, cool.
So that's the third weekend in January.
Yep. So we have
the 20th.
Will you have like your own booth there or something like that?
You're the VIP.
Cool. All right, we sponsor the VIP. So you'll have anybody who gets a VIP ticket, they'll get two free Shiners.
Oh, cool.
I'll have my booth set up with the big variety.
All right, cool. Are you pouring for them or what's going on here?
I'm not. I'm going to probably be covering I'm going to be working the event, but I'll probably be covering for a rep that can't make it. I'm not sure who yet.
Okay.
Well, Alaris is great. They they actually provide pourers for us.
Oh, really?
So they'll give me two volunteers so that I can actually talk to people about the beer, and then those two volunteers will pour the beers.
The only shitty part about that is like you can talk and pour faster than they can pour.
I'm trying to be nice.
I know. That's the other shitty part because you want to let them do their job, but like... You're so used to doing it on your own. Like
the city of Grand Forks is the only place out of all three of my states where I do beer festivals. Right. City of Grand Forks is the only one where I have to have a license issued by the city of Grand Forks to be able to pour beer.
Yeah, that's annoying.
You know, it doesn't really cost much to be a pourer. You know that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't
cost. But you have to like go through the process. I think you have to go to the police station to get it.
Oh, yeah. You can take the test online.
Oh, you can take it online now?
Yeah, it's easy, man. It's
you
easy
just go test. Through the Grand Forks PD and
I
take
might,
the test.
I might just get mine then. That way I can
your server training? Yeah.
So I got a question for you because obviously you're going to be going over there at 5 o'clock.
Yep, we're heading straight over there from here.
How late are you going to be there?
We're shutting her down.
Yep,
shutting
her down.
Until
all
close.
Night long.
Okay, because I was going to say I'll post the show and you know obviously if people are watching it,
yeah,
probably not going to be there. But
yeah, come on
but
over.
While you're there,
yeah,
you know you guys can share the live stream and you know maybe try to get some more people out there.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you're going to be there at 2 a.m. then.
Oh no, they close at 10, don't they?
11 or 12.
10, 11.
I mean, I gotta stay up till 11.
It's Friday.
I know.
Friday.
I know. Right?
I thought they closed at 10.
Okay, but
Friday, Saturday, nope.
I can't
there is
stay
time
up
for people to watch the show and still get down there.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool.
Okay, yeah. So I'll post it up after we you guys stop.
Okay, well, cool.
Stop the show.
Well, episode number 16 is going to be up in right away, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll put it up in.
Up right away.
By 5 p.m.
Yep. I'm Shannon Shell, and that is...
I'm Alan Kirkaby.
And we want to welcome our guest, Mr. Mike Maxwell. Thank you so much, Mike.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate
really
it.
Appreciate, we really appreciate you stopping by. And we're the Brew Brothers. And you know where to catch us. You can catch us on all streaming platforms everywhere.
Yep.
All right, we're out.
Thanks, guys.